So John chapter 12, verses 20 to 26. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honour him."
Thanks very much, and lovely to be with you. As we were saying, my name's Matt G. Jones. I'm one of the church leaders at Grace Church Beckenham, which is Zone 4, South East London. If you couldn't point to it on a map, don't worry. I used to work for St. Peter's Barge, which is lunchtime talks for city workers in Canary Wharf. And it's great to come back and be part of things in the lunchtime talks ministries across London. Let me pray as well. Father, we pray that you would be at work. We believe you speak. We believe that as your spirit works in our hearts, that we get to see Jesus today as we look at your word. And we pray that you do that work in our heart now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, six verses, but so much in there, and we're not going to get a chance to cover all of it. But let me just start with this question. What is the most glorious thing you have seen recently or seen ever? What's taken your breath away? What's been glorious to you? It's made you go, "Oh, wow." Maybe it was something you saw on summer holidays, if you've had the chance to go away, that spectacular view. Maybe it was just seeing the rain finally falling yesterday and just thinking, "Oh, phew." Seeing the heat wave, seeing the fans arrive for the staff in the office. Yes, you see something glorious. This passage, I want to persuade us, Jesus wants to persuade us, it is about the most glorious, jaw-dropping thing we could ever see. That is breathtaking, jaw-dropping, captivating, transforming. When we see it, it will make us want it for ourselves, want to be around it, want to know it more deeply. That's a big claim. And it's, on first glance, I don't know what you thought when we read this passage, it's just odd. It doesn't strike you as the passage that's going to contain the most glorious thing ever. Some people, some Greeks, are at a feast. They want to see Jesus. And they ask Andrew, and Philip goes with Andrew to see Jesus, and it looks like Jesus completely ignores the question. Can they come and see you? It looks like he completely ignores the question, and he goes off about something about glory, something about the Son of Man, something about agriculture, wheat in fields. Looks like he completely ignores the question, okay? What we need to see is his answer is profound, brilliant, unsurprisingly, from the lips of Jesus, and is the thing that is going to help us grasp his glory. You'll see on the sheets, on the back of the sheets, 3 points where we're going. Time to see the glory of Jesus, and that means time to see the glory of the cross, and time to choose the glory of a cross, the cross, for ourselves. So these Greeks, they come, they want to see Jesus. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus," they say, an understandable request. They've probably heard of the miracles, the glorious things he's been doing all over the area. Maybe they've heard of the glorious things he's been teaching. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip and Andrew are not sure what to do. Maybe, can these non-Jews come to Jesus? Answer, yes, we will ultimately see. But they come and they bring this request to Jesus. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Maybe you're not a Christian here today, or you're watching in online. It's great to welcome you along. Do you wish to see Jesus? Do you want to know what he's like? Do you want to know what all the fuss is about? Why colleagues around you are so committed to this person? Keep listening. It's here in this passage. Or maybe you are a Christian, but you look back and you think, yes, it's felt to me like Jesus has kind of walked off the pages of the Bible, and I've met him, I know him, I've seen him, but it looks like he's faded from view. What do I do? Well, this passage, as we understand this strangest of answers, is going to help us. Jesus says, when they come saying, can they see Jesus? He says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Little number 23, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. It's not an irrelevant ignoring of their question. Instead, it is telling them what they most need to see, where and when they most need to look if they want to really, really see Jesus. Okay? I went to an extended family funeral, but at the funeral, I saw my cousin who I knew, Anna, and I kind of half know her. She's kind of second cousin, and I'd heard somewhere that she was a professional viola player, and it's like, okay, that's great. But then at the funeral, Anna performed on the viola, and I'm not really into classical music. I'm sorry if you are. It just doesn't really float my boat, but it genuinely took my breath away. She, just listening to her playing, just blew me away. I was just like, that is glorious. Now, I'd known Anna all the way up to that point, and I'd known in theory, and yet as I saw this moment, this hour of her glory on display, I went, wow, that is you. I mean, you could do the same with something which maybe slightly closer to my heart would be, you do it the same with Usain Bolt, okay? You know, if you bump into Usain Bolt in the street, what do you meet? You would just meet a slightly taller than average man, right? And yet, if you want to know what Usain Bolt is really like, what do you need? You need to a time machine. You need to go to the moment where he's winning the 100-meter final. Like, that is the moment where you get to see Usain Bolt and know him. Do you remember that crazy picture of him, sort of everyone else is straining far, far back behind him, just like absolutely paying attention to the picture, and then he's just up front, and he's just like looking, and he's smiling sideways, and he looks back and realizes how far in front he is, and it's the Olympic final, and he's so far in front, but that is the moment of his glory. We need to see that, because that is what is going on there a little bit. Jesus and Usain Bolt, ever heard that comparison before? He's probably made it himself, but there we go. All through, you see, Jesus has been, in John's gospel, Jesus has been giving glimpses of his glory. As he turned water into wine, John's editorial comment says, and this was the first miracle by which he revealed his glory. And yet, in that story, he says to his mum, who asks him to help with the lack of wine, he says, my hour's not yet come. All through, he just keeps saying, my hour's not yet come, my hour's not yet come. You're not really going to see my glory. And yet now, he says, now, first time, the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. It's like Usain Bolt saying, here are the tickets to that 100-meter final. It's time to see the glory of Jesus, to know him as he actually is. It's time to see the glory of Jesus. That means it's time to see the glory of the cross. Now, in John's gospel, the hour of his glory is a slightly technical term, I guess, in some sense. If you have a look over at 13 verse 1, you get a kind of fuller unpacking of that. The hour has come, Jesus says, for him to depart from the world to the Father. So in John's Gospel, the hour is everything from the moment that he starts his departure from the world on the way to sit back in glory with his Father, the glory he had before the creation of the world, this eternal King. And yet that is a departure that is via the lifting up of the cross. And the cross is what is most in view here. You get that because of verse 24. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to see the glory of Jesus today? Look at the cross. Hear the gospel word about the cross. If you looked before, it's gone pale, stale, you can't see it clearly, it doesn't impress you, it makes you shrug your shoulders. Look again. The Son of Man, the one who's come, who deserves all honor and power, the one who every knee will bow before one day, the one who made everything, who holds all things together, he died for people like you and me. That is the most jaw-dropping, show-stopping, glorious thing we could ever see and spend our lives and our eternities marveling at. The cross is where Jesus dies to give life. He uses agriculture, familiar imagery in the day to unpack what that means. The grain of wheat, if it falls to the ground on its own and does not die, it just remains alone. And yet, if it dies, if it's split in two as a tiny little shoot springs out, as the roots go down, then it bears much fruit. You know, if you're munching down on a sandwich later on, you've got life from death, the death of the seed, that it could produce much fruit. That's the showstopper. That's the glorious thing we get to see. It's gloriously full of love that he would do it for failures like you and I, who deserve death, eternal death. He would die it for us that we could live. You see the glory of this purity, that he would do it in a way that upholds justice. Judgment falls as it should, and yet it falls not on us, but on him. This is the glory of Jesus, the glory of the cross. And what are we to do? We're to come and marvel. Come and see. Come and look. And come and see Jesus today. John's Gospel has got this eye on people who didn't get to see Jesus physically. John himself, writing it, did get to see Jesus physically, but he's got this eye on readers who didn't. So when Doubting Thomas says, well, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and touch the spear mark in his side, I will not believe. Jesus comes and he gives this person evidence to believe, and yet he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. He should have been able to believe on the evidence of the eyewitness testimony he had received when the other disciples said, no, it's true, we've seen. This again is a little nod to those of us, all of us in the room, who have never got to see Jesus physically. We're not told the Greeks got to see Jesus physically. What we are told is they got to hear somehow, we presume, go to the cross. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. You want to see Jesus? Come to the 100-meter final. Come to the cross. The Bible college where I trained had on the lectern for people speaking, just this little quote, "Sir, we would see Jesus." That's what we want to be about as churches, as lunchtime talks all over London. We want to help people see Jesus in the Bible. So come and see, come and marvel. But the application that Jesus makes is this third point. It's time to choose the glory of a cross. Time to choose the glory of the cross. See, when we see something glorious, we can't help but marvel. There's also a little bit of us that can't help but want it for ourselves. Like my kids were watching a little bit of Wimbledon with me, and they were suddenly like, let's go and play tennis. Let's go and try and make this faltering attempt to get in on that glory ourselves. Isn't there a little bit of you when you watch someone play viola amazingly that makes you go, maybe I will start to pick up an instrument to try? Well, if we've actually seen the glory of what Jesus is like, if we've actually, the idea that someone that powerful would lay down their life in service of little old pathetic us, it makes us go, wow, thank you, and wow, maybe could I be like that? Could I be someone that starts to give myself in service of others? That's what Jesus is saying time and again in this passage. People who know him, who see him, are called to follow him and become like him, not dying a once-for-all sacrificial death on behalf of the world, but laying down their life in daily installments in service of others. So all of what Jesus says, it just sort of seamlessly blends between Jesus' words about himself and Jesus' words about his followers. You can't even tell when he's switching between the two. He gives this basic principle: truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Just think about that image. What kind of fruit does a grain of wheat bear? Other grains of wheat, right? And what is a grain of wheat good for once it's been born? It's good for food, for life, but it's also good for death. It's good for going into the ground itself and producing life in others. We get these words: whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. We are called to the joy and privilege of being like Jesus, of partaking in his glory, in laying down our lives in service of others, in doing things that seem small, weak, painful, and yet God uses to produce something eternal and wonderful and amazing. I don't know, I could think of a million billion examples. Start with a big one from church history. I think this probably happened round about here. William Tyndale is known by some to be the first translator of the Bible into English, and died doing it. He was hounded to his death for translating the Bible. That we could hear of Jesus, he died. The story that's slightly less well known is of the businessman Humphrey Monmouth. You can read about it in a book called Gospel Patrons. Is that on the bookstore here? Somewhere. And it's a wonderful story of how this businessman, Humphrey Monmouth, he himself ends up going to jail because he has allowed all of his network and influence to be used to fund this Bible translation and to see the Bibles physically come into on the River Thames, into London, in order for the Bibles to be spread out. He suffered for others eternal good. I think of people in my church that I'm involved in, Grace Church Beckenham, who have left the comfort of big church, comfortable church, where there's more of us to get involved and serve on different things, to be part of something smaller, something which costs more to be involved in, where, yeah, it's just, we have to serve, there's more to do. And just think, well, I mean, I get paid to be there. I'm not sacrificially serving in some sense to be there. It's the guys that are not paid to be there. It's the families that go, yeah, just for the sake of the gospel, we think we want to do something that will cost our family because we want to see other people hear of Jesus and be saved. Laying down life that others could be saved. Maybe just coming to lunchtime talks, choosing to invite to lunchtime talks, being known as a Christian. It just, it's a little moment of social death sometimes, isn't it? And yet, maybe that would be a way by which other people can have life. Choosing to lay down time to come here in hope you will know Jesus more, that you will be able to better serve Jesus and others, and you might be able to encourage others, speak a word of encouragement, using your time for that in service of others instead of in service of self. Maybe it'll be prayer, laying down that portion of my life, that time to actually pray, not for myself, but for others. Maybe it's just all of life when you walk in the office, just looking out and having that mindset shift that says, these are not objects, vehicles, or obstacles to me getting what I want in life. These are people that I've been given to love and serve. Does that sound like a tall list? It's a big list. We need the glory of the cross to see the God who covers our failure and who's dealt with our failure to live as we should and to love others as we should. But that is the glory of the cross. He has done it. Time to see the glory of Jesus, time to see the glory of the cross, time to choose the glory of a cross. Let's pray. Father, we praise you that we get to see today the glory of Jesus, the one who rules all and yet loved us to death. Please make us people who marvel and choose the glory of a cross for ourselves in service of others. In Jesus' name, amen.